Okay, Gvach Shavuot Tov to everybody. Parshas Va'era is what we have in front of us today. And the truth is, anytime you learn Parshas Va'era, really, really you have to learn Parshas Va'era and Bo together. The Aseres HaMakos are described and detailed, articulated in these two Parshas, Parshas Va'era and Bo. So anytime we learn Parshas Va'era, we have to study, we have to learn and take a more careful look at both parashios together, parashios Va'era and Bo. Classically, there are two ways to divide the makos and to understand the makos. The first of which is the approach of the Ramban. The Ramban in parashios Va'era divides the makos into three sets of three. Dam Tzvardei Akinim, Arov Dever Shchin, Barad Ar Bechoshech, and leaves makos Bechoros in its own category. That's the classic way, the most classic way, and the Ramban explains the reason for that division is not just based upon where the makos were, on the ground versus in the air, but rather the Ramban explains that God was meeting out or teaching not only the mitzvah, but klal, so three distinct different things through each of these sets and these units. The first of which was that I am here, I am God, and I will turn water into blood, I will send frogs everywhere and lice, etc. And those were the lesson, the message, and the significance of the first three. The middle three makos, according to the Ramban, teach hashkachas Hashem, hashkacha pratis, that God can take care of an individual or God can take care of Klal Yisrael, independent and specific and different than anybody else. Eini Hashem Lokecha, Mereisha Sashana Ad Acher Sashana. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks after Klal Yisrael in a very unique and distinct way, different than everybody else. And that's the reason that the psukim in the middle three makos stress that there was a distinction between Goshen and the rest of Mitzrayim, that the makos, the middle three makos, hit, struck, destroyed Mitzrayim proper, but everybody in Goshen was saved, was protected, and was not impacted or affected at all. That's the significance of the middle three makos, that's Hashkachas Hashem. The final three, the Ramban explains that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Baal Yechol Es Kulo. Kadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. You could have fire and water together, and fire and water together could create a makkah and could destroy. And that's what Choshech teaches as well. So the latter three makos were the most phenomenal, the most magical, the most significant, the most showed God's omnipotence in the most clear and obvious way as all. That's really the approach of the Ramban. And if you look in the Psukim, and I think we've discussed this previous years, you could see how exactly the Ramban proves these three very, very basic tenets of Jewish philosophy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in this world, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, then to Hashkachas Hashem, and then to Hashem being the Baal Yechol Es Kulam. That's the approach of the Ramban, a very important piece in the Ramban's commentary on La Torah in Parshas Va'era to explain, describe the Makos. There is a second way that we classically are familiar with dividing of the Makos, and we know it from the Haggadah, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda hayinosim behem simanim, detzach adash be'achav. So as opposed to the Ramban who divides the Makos into three sets of three, and leaving Makos Bechoros independent, Rabbi Yehuda's position was it's three, three, and four. Dam tzvardei akinim, arov dever shchin, Barad Ar Bechoshech, Makos Bechoros included. So it's 3, 3, and 4, as opposed to 3, 3, and 3, and 1. And of course, much, much discussion, and if you open up any Haggadah you have, of the tens of Haggadahs that you have in your home, many question, what is it about Rabbi Yehuda, and why is it that Rabbi Yehuda went to such a great extent to create this mnemonic of Detzach Adash Be'achav? Why did Rabbi Yehuda think to divide the Makos into these three sets, 3, 3, and 4. What was it about these Makos, and why is it that Makos Bechoros has to join the latter three, and what is it about the Ramban who divides it into three categories of three as opposed to Makos Bechoros being independent and Rabbi Yehuda including those together? So I'll leave you with that food for thought, and take a look in your Haggadahs, and many, many, the Mefarshi Haggadah, the Balei Haggadah, try to understand what is it about the mnemonic and why does Rabbi Yehuda place Makos Bechoros with the final three. There is even a third way to divide the Makos, and that is the way, if you look at it in the Torah really, and that's not 3, 3, and 3, or 3, 3, and 4, but rather it's 7 and 3. The 7 Makos in Parshas Va'era, and the 3 Makos in Parshas Bo. Maybe we'll discuss that next week. But that's another very clear division. Although classically, we don't really look at the parshios as a critical way to divide parshios or to divide stories, especially in this context, parshios ve'eran bo, we have to look at the makos in a totality. But really, there is something significant about that division of ve'eran bo. Maybe you remember from grade school, parshios bo, beis, and aleph is a gematria of three. And that's how we all remember that there are three makos in parshios bo as opposed to the seven in parshios ve'era. But clearly that is another division, seven and three, and that also requires analysis, thought, and contemplation. What is it about the last three, Arbe, Choshech, and Makos Bechoros? Is there something unique about those three that come together, and why does the Torah divide those three, and do we see anything different? And it is a very strong argument that we do, and that's something that we'll consider talking about next week. But what I'd like to do this morning is to take a look at an entirely different division. And it's a division that is a chiddush, and it's a division that's worthy of discussion, and it's the division of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Reb Chaim ben Attar, one of the classic Mefarshei HaChumash, who's buried on Har HaZesim. Reb Chaim ben Attar was a great, great Kabbalist, a great Posek, one of the great, great rabbis who emigrated to Eretz Yisrael and buried, as I noted, on Har HaZesim. And in his commentary, Reb Chaim ben Attar, in Parshos Va'era, Perek Ches, in the Mak of Tzvardeya, he looks at the ten Makos together as a totality, but looks at their division in a very different way than any of the three that I just mentioned. Not like the Ramban, 3, 3, 3, and 1. Not like Rabbi Huda of 3, 3, and 4. Not like the third approach of 7 and 3. But Rabbi Chaim ben Attar and the Or HaChaim HaKadosh to Parshas Ve'era, and the Mak of Tzvardeya, looks at the Makos from Paro's reaction. How does Paro react to each of the Makos? And the Or HaChaim develops a fascinating theory. And if you look at the pshat in the psukim, he raises a very, very basic question, and his answer is also quite simple and straightforward, but it lends a different light on all of the makos, and really specifically on how Paro should have and did in a real time react to each of the makos. And you'll take a look and you'll note, and we're all familiar more globally, that Paro didn't react the same way to each one. Some he was more scared, some he was less scared, some he called Moshe, some he didn't call Moshe, some he told Moshe to daven for him, some he told Moshe not to daven for him. But Reb Chaim ben Attar notes that there's a very significant approach and focus of Paro. And there's a very, very methodology for Paro's reaction. It's not haphazard, it's not random, but Paro thinks very carefully when he calls for Moshe. He recognizes that Moshe has the power, the koach, the ability to remove the makos, but he doesn't always ask for Moshe. He doesn't always call for Moshe. He's not always interested in Moshe davening for him. But why is it, asks the Or HaChaim, that in some makos, Moshe was called for Paro, as opposed to others where he's not? So let's take a look in the Psukim. I'd like to go through each of the makos, so we're going to be turning some pages now, but it's very, very fascinating, it's very interesting, and it's worthy of looking through the Psukim and seeing very carefully how it is that Paro reacts. So let's start with Makas Dam. If you have a Chumash in front of you, you'll find Makas Dam toward the beginning of Parshas Ve'era in the Stone Chumash, which I'm using. It's on page 326. And the first plague is meted out by Aaron, of course, and not Moshe Rabbeinu. And Paro notes that his entire land is being transformed. And water, hydration, is the most critical source of necessity that any country needs. And when the Nile turns from water to blood, and every cup of water turns to blood, as you're familiar with the famous Medrash, which notes that the same cup of water that a Jew drank and then shared it with a Mitzri turned automatically from water to blood. So the Pasuk says, Vahi dam, Vahaya dam b'chol eretz Mitzrayim be'etzim avanim, in sticks and stones and water, everywhere was there dam. The entire Nile and all bodies of water, Chazal teach us, turned to dam. All of the fish died. There was no water to drink. There was blood everywhere throughout Mitzrayim. And if you turn the page to 328, the most interesting thing, and this is what we talked about yesterday, and the Chartumim, the sorcerers, the magicians of Mitzrayim, were able to duplicate this Makkah. And therefore, The Torah tells us in Pasuk Chav Gimel, V'lo shama aleim kasher dibra Hashem. Paro's heart was hardened. He was not overwhelmed. The fact that his people, his magicians, his sorcerers, his specialists were able to duplicate this makom made Paro harden his hardened heart again. And in Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayifim Paro Vayavo Elbeiso V'lo shos libo gamuzos. In a very, very dramatic way, Paro pays no attention, doesn't heed what's taking place in Iota, not a kihuzeh, doesn't pay any attention, lo shas libo gamlazos. He wasn't amazed by the fact that the snake turned to a staff, not by the fact that the staff turned to a snake, not the fact that Moshe's hands were placed in his pockets and turned to tzaras. That's what the pasuk means, lo shas libo gamlazos. As long as my chartumim can do it, I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. Your God is not going to frighten me. I don't need you, Moshe. I don't need you, Aaron. And we have nothing to do with you. No deal. The Jews will remain behind. You could claim and exclaim all day, Shalach es ami v'yavduni, but there's nothing to talk about. There's no deal that we're going to make. No shaking of the hands. Paro goes home, shuts his door, and the story continues. So note, of course, Makkah's dumb. Paro pays absolutely no attention. He's not interested in hearing from Moshe. He's not interested in anything that God has to say. Lo shas libo gam lozos. However, that very, very quickly changes in Tzaradeah. And it's actually most surprising in Tzaradeah of all of the Makos. You take a look as the second plague is initiated and Paro is attacked in the entire land, b'chol gvulecha, in the entire boundaries of all of Mitzrayim, Tzaradeah, frogs here, frogs there, frogs everywhere, as the pasuk says. V'shara tzayor tzfardim v'alu v'oba v'secho v'chadarecho b'shmicha v'echa v'amitasecho b'beis avadecha b'amecha v'tanarecho m'sharatecha, as the last pasuk tells us in Perek Zayin, chapter 7 of Parshas Vayera, they were everywhere. Frogs were attacking up and down and all around, from the highland to the lowland, from the sea to the homes, to every single closet and oven that existed in all of Mitzrayim. And then the psukim go on and continue and say exactly what it does in the Makkah of Dam. Perek Ches, Pasuk Gimel, Vayasu Chein HaChartumim Bilateim, Vayalus Atzvadim Eretz Mitzrayim. The magicians, the Egyptian magicians, were again able to duplicate the very same Makkah. And they also brought up frogs throughout Mitzrayim. However, look at Pasuk Dal, which is a surprising Pasuk, especially in light of the first Makkah, Makkah's Dam. Asks the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, read the Pasuk, Vayikra Paro L'Moshe L'Aaron V'yom Ha'atira El Hashem, V'yoser Tzfardoi Mimeni U'me'ami. Paro shockingly calls to Moshe, calls to Aaron, and says, go speak to your God, entreat Hashem, that he removes all of the frogs from me and my people. And then once that takes place, I will send them out. Vayizbuchu Hashem, and you could offer sacrifices to your God. Asks the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, why now? All of a sudden in Tzfardeah? Dafkin Tzfardeah, this is when the magicians, the Mitzri Chartumim, were able to duplicate the Makkah. Why, when it came to the Makkah of Dam, the Chartumim were able to duplicate the Makkah? Did Paro state and exclaim in no uncertain terms, Lo shos libo gam lozos? I'm not interested, I'm not paying attention. He closes his door, goes back to his palace, back to his throne, pays no attention to Moshe, to Aaron and Hashem. And now all of a sudden, one Makkah later, the Makkah of Tzfardeah, when Paro also has his people, his Chartumim, his magicians, his sorcerers, are able to duplicate the Makkah, all of a sudden Paro's frightened and scared, and he says, Moshe, Aaron, go speak to your God, and as soon as you remove this Makkah from me, I will let you out. But what about his Chartumim? His Chartumim brought the Makkah out. And Moshe responds in Pasuk, hey, the top of page 330, Vayomer Moshe lefar hisparlai, lemasai a'atir lecha, ula avadech la amecha lehachis atzfardim imcha mibadecha, rak by yorsha enit hasharna. You, Moshe, says to Paro, when should I entreat for you? What are you talking about? You want me to remove these tzfardayim? Is that what you want from me? Is that what you're asking of me? Vayomer lemachar, tomorrow will be the day. Machar yeh haos hazeh. Kidvarcha leman teida kin kashem elokeinu. This was the pasuk that the Ramban refers to that I noted, that Moshe and Aaron are teaching Paro, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us, Ki ein kashem ukein. There's nobody like Hashem. That's the first set of three makos, the way the Ramban puts it down. Dam, tzvardei akinim, ki ein kashem elokeinu. And I will remove the tzvardei mimchami babtecha me'avadecha me'amecha rak bayor tisharna. The only place that the frogs will remain is where they belong, and that is in the yor, that's in the water, and all bodies of water. And then pasuk ches vayetze Moshe v'armim paro vayitzak Moshe al Hashem al dvar hatzvardoyim asher sam paro. Moshe had to what? Soek. Moshe had to scream because the tzvardoyim were so loud. They were making such a crack that Moshe had to scream to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he be heard because of this intense sound and the noise of the tzvardoyim. And the Torah then goes on to describe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to Moshe, all the Tzvardayim die in the homes, in the chatzeros, in the courtyards, in the fields. There was a huge, humongous pile of dead frogs everywhere, and Paro ultimately, as the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph, Paro doesn't listen to Moshe, doesn't listen to Aaron, continues to fight Hashem, fight Moshe and Aaron, but nonetheless, a very dramatic different reaction of Paro in Dam and Sfardei Adam, although the Chartumim were able to duplicate, says Paro, I'm not interested in listening to you, as opposed to Sfardei, where again, the Mitzrim and Chartumim were able to duplicate, but here Paro tells Moshe, tells Aaron, I'm not willing to continue, I need you to speak to Hashem to remove the Sfardei from any. That is the fundamental question that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks, and the Or HaChaim can be found right here in the Makom of Sfardei. But let us continue, as the Rechaim HaKadosh leads us through the Parshios of Va'era and Bo. Again, let us take a look at Paro's reaction to each and every single Makkah. And let's introduce the third plague, the third Makkah, and that is the Makkah of Kinim, lice. And lice are everywhere, as described in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Here, what's interesting and dramatically different and categorically different than Dam and Tzvardei is that the Chartumi were unable to duplicate this Makkah. And what do they say in Pasuk Tezvav? Vayomra chartum el paro etzpa elokim hi. Vaychazek le paro v'lo sham aleim kasher dibur Hashem. The chartumim were stunned, dumbfounded, unable to duplicate the makkah. They said, etzpa elokim. Now you would think, and I would think, for the first time the chartumim were unable to copy what Moshe and Aaron were doing. They were able to do it with the staff and the snake. They were able to do it with the hand and the tzaras. They were able to do it dam and tzvardeah. All of a sudden, kinim they couldn't do. We would imagine that Paro's reaction should be, oh, now I'm in trouble. My own chartumi, my magicians, my prophecy, and my people can't fool Moshe and Aaron. They can't pull this off. So if that's the case, now I'm stuck. I need to call Moshe, I need to call Aaron, and I need to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu I'm finished. But Paro doesn't do that. And again, a surprising reaction of Paro when the Torah tells us, Vechazik le Paro v'lo sham aleim kasher dibur Hashem, it pasuk tetzav. Paro says, I'm not interested. So here we see a third reaction of Paro. Again, not a first reaction that we would have had, but Paro, like the Makkah of Dam, when it comes to Kinim, is not frightened, is not scared, is not overwhelmed by the fact that his Chartumim can't duplicate the Makkah. And here indeed again, Paro, like he does in Makkah of Dam, lo shasli bogam lepamazos, he's not overwhelmed, not scared, not frightened, and doesn't react in a strong way, and continues fighting God. So when it comes to Dam and when it comes to Kinim, Makos 1 and 3, Paro's reaction is very stern, is very cold, not frightened, not scared, as opposed to Tzvardei where he is. And of course the question is, why the distinction, why the different reaction of Paro? But let us continue going through each of the other Makos to try to see if we could figure out any common denominator. What is it about Dam and Kinim that Paro is not scared and is not interested in calling Moshe and Aaron as opposed to Tzvardei where he is? Let's take a look at the fourth Makkah, and this is Arov. Arov are the swarm of wild beasts, and here the entire land of Mitzrayim is overwhelmed by Arov. And Arov comes everywhere, and in Pasuk Yotes you see, V'samti fidus, as the Ramban notes, here in the middle section of the three Makos, you start to see this Hashkacha, the difference between Ami and Amecha, the difference between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrim. The Arov attacked and destroyed and overwhelmed the entire Egyptian population, but Klal Yisrael were protected, they had no problem whatsoever. Vayava Arov, Kavid Beis, Apara Beis, Avada B'Chalaretz Mitzrayim, Tishaches haris mipnei harav. The arav, these wild beasts, overwhelmed all of Mitzrayim. How will Paro react? Will he react like he did at Dan, where he's not frightened and scared, and he doesn't call for Moshe and Aaron, or react like he does at Tzfardeya, calling for Moshe and Aaron? If you take a look in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Perek Ches, Vayikra Paro Moshe l'Aaron v'yomer l'chu zivchu l'elokeichem b'arz, go offer, go sacrifice to your God. Here we see that Paro is scared. And here we see that Paro says, leave, go away. So the reaction of Paro to Arov is quite similar in effect to that of Dan. And Moshe says, no, we need to leave. We need to go to the Midbar. We need to go far away. We're not going to take care of this over here. And Moshe says to Paro in Pasuk Chafei, V'yomer Moshe, Hineh Enochi Yotzi Min Ha'acha Be'atiyarti Al Hashem, I will dive into Hashem for you. V'sor Ha'or Mi Par Me'avod Of Me'ama Machar, Rakal Yosef Paro Hase Levilti Shalach Zamezbach L'Hashem, let us go. Let us travel to the Midbar. If you want me to rid your country of these wild beasts that are swarming, attacking, overwhelming your entire country and your entire population and every corner of Mitzrayim, let us go. Vayetze Moshe min Paro, vayeoter al Hashem. Moshe cries and prays to God, and vayas Hashem kidvar Moshe, vayaser ha'arav mipar me'avadav me'amev alo nishar echad, and again Paro's heart gets hardened. Almost like a game, a cat and mouse, as you read Paro, Moshe, and Hashem. Paro's scared, he's frightened, he isn't, he hardens his heart, he doesn't harden his heart, and you see a very, very unique cycle. So Dam, Paro's not frightened, not scared. He doesn't call for Moshe Aaron. Tzvardeha, he does. Kinim, he doesn't. And now Arov, he does. So we're 2-2. When it comes to the makos of Tzvardeha, the frogs, and when it comes to the mak of Arov, the wild beasts, we see that Paro is overwhelmed on a very, very peripheral level. And on a very, very rough level, we could argue at this point that when it comes to the makos that are related to animals, Paro, on those two makos, does seem to be ready and prepared to let the people go. Now, that's not exactly what the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh will teach us, as we'll see in just a little bit, but certainly from the first four makos, the common denominator that we do see between Dam, Tzfardeya, Kinim, and Arov is that Dam and Kinim, the water turned to blood and there was lice everywhere, those didn't seem to impact Paro, and those two Paro did not pay attention or heed what was taking place and didn't seem interested whatsoever to let the people go. However, when it comes to Tzfardeya and Arav, the two makos that impacted the land of Mitzrayim based upon the animal kingdom, their Paro did react much stronger. And that's when Paro tells Moshe, tells Aaron, pray for me, remove these two makos, Tzfardeya and Arav. But why? What is it about the animal kingdom? What is it about the frogs, and what is about the wild animals? Now, of course, the frogs don't seem to be so threatening as opposed to Arav, to the wild beasts. Wild beasts are dangerous. Wild beasts are very overwhelming. They could hurt. They could kill. Frogs, probably a nuisance of some sort, but they weren't really taking advantage of people the same way a wild beast were. They're two very different types of animals. One is tiny, one are big, one are quick and fast, one can jump and run, and one can attack and kill, and the others can't. But certainly we do see this common denominator between the Tzfardeya and the Arav. But let us march forward with the fifth Makkah and see how Paro will react to the fifth Makkah. So we've taken care of Dam, Tzfardeya, Kinim, and Arav. Let's take a look at Dever, which is the fifth Makkah, the epidemic, the plague that attacked all of the animal kingdom. So again, we're back to the animals, but let's see how Paro will react. Will he react like he did with Tzfardeya and Arav? Just like the animal kingdom was overwhelming for him and he wanted the people to go, and maybe the same thing will be true when it comes to Dever, or he'll react the same way that he did when he came to Dam and Kinim. So take a look at the Dever Kovid Meo, the very intense pandemic, the epidemic that attacked all of the animal kingdom. And again, Pasuk Dal V'hifla Hashem Bein Miknei Yisrael Bein Miknei Mitzrayim. The approach of the Ramban, Hashkachas Hashem. The middle three makos divided. There was a very clear division between the animals of the Egyptians and the animals of the Jews, because only the Dever affected, impacted, and plagued the Mitzrim animal, as opposed to the Jewish-owned animals. Vayas Hashem es hadavar hazeh mimachras vayamos kol miknei Mitzrayim mimiknei bnei Yisrael omeis echad. Not one Jewish animal, not one horse, not one donkey, not any of the Jewish cattle were taken, were killed through this epidemic, as opposed to the Mitzrims, which were. Unbelievable. So here you have the tiebreaker, the fifth makkah, the makkah of Dever. It's not like the other two animal makkos where Paro says, send the people away, call Moshe and Aaron, and we need you to pray for me to make sure that I could go on and to protect my kingdom, my throne, and my country. But here again, when it comes to Dever, Paro shows no sign at all of relenting. Paro does not send the nation away. So he doesn't react, even though it's an animal plague, like Tzvardeya, like Arov. However, here he's not ready. He's not prepared. He's not going to send the Jewish people away. But Adarab, it's just the opposite. Vechabe leiv Paro. So again, we ask ourselves the question, why Tzvardeya? Why Arov are the two makos that we have seen thus far of the five that Paro is ready and prepared to send them out as opposed to the other three? But again, let's continue. Let us take a look at the sixth makkah. After Dam, after Tzadeh, Kirim, Arov, Dever comes Shchin, the boils. And the Torah tells us that boils came and attacked Ha'odam ala Behem l'Shchin. Pasuk Tes, Poreach Abuos, B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. These boils were attacking all of mankind in the entire animal kingdom. V'lo yachlu achartumim lam l'fnei Moshe p'nei Hashchin, the chartumim, the magicians. These sorcerers were unable to duplicate this makkah. The Chatumim were unable to do it, but nonetheless, Paro again not backing down. Like the fifth Makkah, like Dever, Paro is not scared. And this Makkah, again, does not frighten Paro a bit. The Shechin does not scare Paro and doesn't stop him from continuing to fight God, to fight Moshe, to fight Paro. And that's what Paro says. V'chazek Hashem eslei Paro v'lo sham alem kasher dibar Hashem Moshe. Paro shows again no sign of relenting. It's only these two, Tzvardeya and Arov, that Paro shows some level of panic and calling for Moshe and Aaron. But let us move to the seventh makkah now and see and learn what Paro's reaction is going to be here. V'yomer Hashem el Moshe hashkem baboker v'syatziv lifnei Paro. Go in front of Paro, says God to Moshe. V'emarta elav and tell him. Send my people away. And Moshe goes to Paro and tells Paro, I'm going to send all of my plagues on you. And this is a fascinating, fascinating psuk pasuk that many of the Mefarshei HaChumash note that it seems like this seventh makkah, the makkah of hail, is going to be the most intense of all. Barad is going to be so powerful that the Torah tells us, Ani sholeches kol magefosai libecha. All of my makos are going to be equivalent to the makkah of hail, to this very, very powerful makkah that's going to overwhelm all of the nation. The hail is going to be so intense, as the pasuk says, you've never seen a barad like this in your life. Hineni mamtir kais machar barad kaved mod. Pasuk yud ches. Never in the entire history of all of Egypt have you ever seen such a hail. This bard is going to be incredibly powerful and intense. So powerful that we see Moshe says something that he has never said before in any makkah. He warns Paro, Shlach ha'ezes miknecha. If you're wise, if you're smart, says Moshe to Paro, you'll bring all of your cattle in. Now, although the cattle seem to have been taken in the makkah of Arov, there's still something left. And he tells Paro, send all of your animals inside from the field. Anything that's outdoors, right? Like a hurricane warning, bring all of your equipment indoors. Whatever it is, if you don't bring it indoors, you're at your own risk. Animal and man alike. Those who feared God, those who understood what Moshe was saying was real. Those who believed in God, they indeed did that. They brought all their lawn furniture and all their pool equipment inside, and including their animals and including the people. But those who didn't, those who didn't fear God and weren't scared, they left all of their animals and their cattle. They left all of their servants and their maidservants. They left all of their animals outdoors. Let's see how this makkah is meted out, and let's see Paro's reaction to this makkah of hail, and how intense the barad is, and what happens. Vashem nasan kolos u'barad, says the Torah in Pasuk of Gimel. V'tahalech esh arza, there was fire, there was ice, there was very, very strong hail everywhere in Mitzrayim. Barad va'esh mislakachas b'socha barad kovid marashalai kama b'chalaretz v'tzai me'az ha'isa l'goy. As Moshe promised, it was so intense, so strong, nobody's ever seen hail like this before. Vayach habar pasuk chaf hei, perek tes, b'chol eretz Mitzrayim es kol asher basada, me'adam v'abehema v'es kol esa v'asada, hika habar v'es kol eitz asada shiber. The plant, all plant life destroyed. The entire animal kingdom outside destroyed. All human beings outdoors were destroyed. And again, as the Ramban says, in the middle three, Makos, Rak, Peretz, Goshen, Esher, Sam, Bnei Yisrael, Lohaya Bard. Only in Goshen was there no Bard. Now let's see Paro's reaction now. The Bard was intense. Will he react like Tzvardeya and Arov, that he'll tell Moshe and Aaron, please, please, pray for me? Or will it be like Dam and Kinim and Dever and Shechin? What is Paro's reaction to this makkah? And take a look. Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Zayin, page 338. Vayishlach Paro vayirkul Moshe l'Aaron v'yomer aleihem, Chatasi hapam, Hashem atzadik v'ani v'amir ha'yishayim. For the first time, it takes for the seventh plague for Paro to admit his guilt, to say, I have sinned. Hashem atzadik v'ani v'ami harashem. And again, many mefarshei chumash comment upon this pasuk, questioning what is it about this makkah specifically that all of a sudden Paro does tshuva. Chatasi l'Hashem, Hashem atzadik v'ani v'ami harashem. We are wicked, we are bad, me and my people have done wrong, we have sinned, you God are righteous. Tziduk adin. Paro accepts upon himself that God is correct and righteous, as opposed to any other makkah, all of a sudden. And again, this is a question that the Aruch Chaim raises, and we'll have to string this together and understand what is it about Dam? What is it about the other makkos that he's not? But here we put three makkos together in the same camp, Tzvardeya, Arov, and Dever, that all of a sudden, Barad, I'm sorry, these three makkos where Paro is frightened and scared. Ha'atira l'Hashem v'rav mios kolos elokimu bar v'ashal cheskem v'los tzif v'lamor, says Paro, this is too much for me, I can't handle this hail, this Barad is too much. And just like Tzvardeh and Arov, it's Barad that does Paro in. V'yomer la Moshe kitzesi asir efros eskapai el Hashem. When I leave the city, I will raise my hands up unto God. You need to know that God is the master of the world, of heavens and earth. And you, Paro, you will see that I can make God, and I will tell God to stop the makkah. And Paro is prepared to send the people away. And Paro, again, like the makkah of Tzradeh, like the makkah of Arov, when it comes to Barad, Paro is overwhelmed. Vayar Paro pasuk lamedal ki chodol hamotav habar bakolos v'yosef lachto. However, not surprisingly, the cat and mouse continues, and just like Tzvardeh is taken away, just like Arov is taken away, and Paro immediately after the mako is removed, hardens his heart again. And we finish Parshas Va'era with pasuk lamed hey v'chazik lev Paro v'lo shalach es bnei Yisrael kasher diber Hashem b'yad Moshe. So we've studied, we've reviewed seven makos. Out of the seven makos, we've seen three makos that Paro calls for Moshe and Aaron, the makah of Tzvardeh, the makah of Arov, and the makah of Barad. And again, the question that we need to address and assess and understand, what is it about these three as opposed to the other four? Why is it Dafka, these three makos, that Paro is prepared to send Klal Yisroel, calls for Moshe and Aaron, says Hashem is correct, and these are the ones that Paro Dafka is prepared to send the Klal Yisroel away with. But before we resolve this question, let us take a look at the last makos, makos 8 and 9. The makkah of locust, the makkah of arba, and then choshech, and see again how Paro reacts, and let us take a look and let us see how we can understand Paro's reaction. And here it is, Parshas Bo, page 340, Perek Yud, chapter 10, Sefer Shmos. They're going to send arba, the locust, throughout Mitzrayim. Pasuk Hey, v'chisa es ein haaretz. It's going to cover the locust, your entire land. It's going to eat up your entire agricultural system. There'll be nothing left from the entire plant life. that exists. Va'achalas yesera pleita nisher sachem in a bard. Whatever the bard, whatever the hail didn't take care of, arbe will. Va'achalas kol eitz hatzomeach lachem in hasad. It's going to attack and eat up and destroy everything that exists outside. Sounds a bit like tzvardeya. It's going to go into your homes and into your servants' home. And in all of Mitzrayim, you've never seen any makkah like this. And this is what Moshe goes to tell Paro, makkah number 8, makkah ches, what is going to be? Vayushav es Moshe ves Aaron al Paro v'yomer lehem, luchu ivdu es Hashem elokechem mi v'mi haholchem. Paro is prepared to let the people go. Arba, like Tzfardeya, like Arov, like Barad, is too much for Paro to handle. Now it does fulfill one theory that we raised, and that is that it's another animal makkah. Like Tzfardeya and like Arov, Arba, these locusts are too much for Paro to handle. So again, it seems that the animal makkos, the ones that are going to do Paro in, because here he tells Moshe, I'm ready, I'm prepared, I'm set, just leave, get out of here. I'm not interested in this anymore. And again, Moshe tells, Vayom Hashem al Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, place the arbe on Mitzrayim. It's everywhere, everywhere, and everywhere. And again, Paro says in no uncertain terms, in Perek Yud Pasuk, Tezayin Vayimar, Paro Likur L'Moshe L'Aron Vayomer Chatasi L'Hashem Elokeichem L'Hashem. I have sinned, I have sinned. The cat and mouse continues. Didn't he just say that in the 7th Makkah? And he says it again in the 8th Makkah. For the first time, Paro uses a word, remove from me this death plague. That word has never been used before by Paro. Rakasiru me'olai es hamavas hazeh, remove this death from me. And that word in the world of the Orach Chaim, as we'll see shortly, will be very critical to understanding why it is when it comes to Tzfardeya, when it comes to Arov, when it comes to Barad. And now when it comes to Arba, is Paro fearful, frightened, and he says, I'm ready for you to pray to your God, get out of here. And what does Hashem do? Paro leaves, Moshe goes, davens to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu sends this very strong easterly wind, there's no more Arba left, but again, the cat and mouse and Paro's heart is hardened, and finally comes the 9th Makkah, the Makkah of Choshech. And Hashem tells Moshe, if Paro's hardened his heart again, let's see, I'm going to place your hand up unto heaven. There'll be darkness upon all of Mitzrayim. Vayamesh Choshech. The darkness will be so intense, it will be tangible. And Moshe places this darkness, nobody sees each other. Vayikra Paro Moshe in the Chuivdu as Hashem, Raktonchem of a Karchem Yutzag. Gam Tapchem Yelech. Everybody go, go, leave. Not only are we going to leave, not only are we all going to go, men, women, and children, not only are we going to go to the Midbar, but you're going to bring us, and you're going to give us your flock. So although Paro is prepared and willing to let them go, he doesn't call for Moshe and Aaron and tell them to pray for him. So Choshech doesn't really scare Paro. He's overwhelmed and he's frightened, and he says, you can go, but he doesn't ask like he does at Tzfardeya, like he does at Arav, like he does at Barad or Arba. So if you take a look, we have 4 makos out of the 9. Of course, makos Bechoros is the ultimate, and it's makos Bechoros where ultimately Paro says, Sholach es ami v'avduni, and Kadosh Baruch, that's Moshe says to Paro, and Paro says, get out of here. But what is it about these 4 makos, asks the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, that Paro's reaction is so intense and is so strong, and why when it comes to Tzfardeya, to Arav, to Barad, and to Arba, is Paro prepared to send the nation away? And more than that, asks Moshe and Aaron to pray for him, and more than that, in the final 2, we see that Paro says, Hashem atzadik vani v'ami harashayim. So Rechaim HaKadosh raises the following theory, solution, suggestion, as to what it is about these 4 makos. And you could take a look in the Rechaim HaKadosh in Parshas Ve'era, Perek Ches, in the Makkah of Tzfardeya, where he notes that it's when it's a death plague, when it's a makkah that is creating death, that is so overwhelming, and that is so clear, and that is so deadly, That's what it takes for Paro to call Moshe and to call Aaron and to tell them to daven to Hashem for him. Paro is willing to fight Hashem till the end, till the nth degree. It's dafka when he sees death in front of him. And it's dafka when he's so scared and so frightened. That's the only time that Paro reacts the way that he does and calls for Moshe and Aaron. If you take a look at the psukim, it's writ large, it's clear, it's obvious. Svardeya, the loud noise, the fact that they were all over the land and the country and they got into everything and everything, that it scared Paro intensely and immensely. And that's what did Paro in with Svardeya. That's what did Paro in with Arov. That's what did Paro in with the Barad. The loud sound. The incredible ability of the ice and the water and the fire to come together. The fact that the heavens opened and there was a great noise, just like Barad and Svardeya. The croaking was so loud, was frightening. But the others, Dan, Kinim, Shechin, didn't fear and didn't put the fear of God into power like it did the others. And it's for that reason that the Rechaim HaKadosh suggests that the Makos that were a death plague, Rak Hasem Me'olayas HaMaves HaZeh, it's only when death was staring Paro in the face, that's when he finally woke up. And of course, Makos Bechoros is the most clear of all of those. And that is when Paro said, enough is enough. And if you put the string together of the Makos, as I said, the Rechaim HaKadosh's approach is to look at the Makos from all 10, but not from the implementation and execution, but rather the reaction. And the division of the Makos is not 3-3-3-1, it's not 3-3-4, it's not 7-3, but rather, according to the Rechaim HaKadosh, it's 6-4. And we look at the Makos from the perspective of Paro's reaction. How does Paro react to the Makos? And therefore, if we're to ask ourselves as a question, what were the most intense, strong, and powerful Makos? Well, according to the Rechaim HaKadosh, it was these four. It's Tzvardeya, it's Arov, it's Barad, and it's Arbe, and Makos Bechoros, because those are the ones that Paro calls for Moshe, calls for Aaron, and says, remove the death plague from me. These are the ones that are most frightening, overwhelming, scary to Paro, and it's only those that Paro called for Moshe and Aaron, Ha'atiro Eli, daven for me. And therefore, that is the division of the Rechaim HaKadosh of Parshios, Va'eram Bo, of the Saras and Makos, those that created and caused, forced Paro to call for Moshe Aaron, to daven for him, to allow them to be removed, as opposed to the others who did not. So that is the approach of the Rechaim HaKadosh, Reb Chaim and Atar, to the Makos, Parshios, Va'era, and Bo, the division of 6-4, as opposed to the division of the Ramban, the division of Rabbi Yehuda, and 7-3, as we described. This is the approach of the Rechaim. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week, a good Chodesh. Chodesh Tov, a happy, healthy, successful week ahead of Mirtz Hashem.